fucking pitch
it. Here comes John. We got 2 minutes to showtime. And he's wearing a shirt. Knew motherfucker. It. Knew it. Knew he was going to...
What the fuck is this?
What do you mean, what the fuck is this?
Unprofessional? Well, I mean, what is this, a porn chat? What's going on? I thought this was a professional discussion here amongst intellectuals.
No. You may as well leave now. Dropping the shirt, John? Are you staying shirted? Just, I think if John stays shirted, that would actually be hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good mix.
Yep.
How are we, boys?
Great. How are you doing?
No, shit. Current video card driver does not support. Fuck it. Pedro, sorry. See you again.
What? I thought you tested this.
I had it up and running. Current video card driver does not support this NVC. Please update your my grinders.
The grinder.
Is my internet still messed up, or can you guys hear me now?
You guys were frozen for like 10 seconds there. I don't know if that was a driver issue or what, but I lost you for a little while.
That was 100% Greg's driver.
I'm freezing here. Just so you know.
All right, it looks like I'm connected to the stream, Greg.
Grinder.
Oh, you got it up?
I updated Grinder. Everything's
fine. God damn. I was so excited.
Because of Grinder?
I'm always excited because of Grinder.
This ringtone is that?
You guys are looking good, by the way. I think it needs to be said. You guys are looking real tight.
This might Thank start you. A trend, John.
Thanks, man.
Oh, look who has graced us with his presence. Mike himself.
What up, dudes?
The main guest.
He's finally arrived.
We've got John here, huh? Hey, John.
Hey, brother.
How's it going, mate?
It's going great. How you doing?
I'm Good. Hitting I'm live. Off. I'm hitting live, guys.
Go ahead, hit the live.
Greg's got his shirts off.
I'm not the only one. Brilliant. Labra's shirtless, RD shirtless, Pedro's shirtless. All right, you said we're live. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in. It's the test stream number 5 of the Meme Factory stream. We're going to test it out this evening. Tonight's guest is the one and only John Vallis. John, thank you for coming on tonight.
It's an absolute honor, really.
The honor is ours.
I don't believe it for a fucking second. That's what I'm going to do. What are you eating tonight is what I'm actually curious about. What you got there?
Well, I apologize. It's incredibly rude for me to be eating during this meeting of the minds here, but I was running a bit behind on things, so I'm eating steak with a little bit of white rice.
Tell you what, you know how you can make it up to me?
How's that?
You can read our ad copy.
We got advertising.
Yeah, secured them today. Actually, I only secured them because I told them John was going to be on the pod. Let me get this sent over to you. I'll send it to you.
You working out, Greg? The traps are looking pretty hulky over there.
These are natural. This is from eating too much and drinking too much.
I see.
There's a filter on Zoom that you can use, John. So that's what Greg is using right now.
Right.
What's that filter called?
Traps.
John Vallis filter.
Yeah, it's the John Vallis filter. All right, John, I'm going to send you this ad copy on your Twitter. Do you have access to your Twitter while we're talking?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Go ahead and read that off just so we get paid for the night. Because if we don't get paid, we got to cut the stream off. We're not making any money. You know?
Is this real?
Yeah, it's real. Please read.
All right.
Please read it.
All right. Hold on now. Can't speak with my mouth full.
You're the professional here, so I
excuse me. Are you tired of getting the eggs out of your eggshells? It can be a lot of work cracking the egg, dispossessing of the yolk and disposing of the yolk and the white, breaking the shell apart, and then sprinkling it on your food. Our patented technology rips the eggshells right out of the chickens before they even lay the egg. And I can tell you from experience that these are the most tender, juicy, crispy, smoky, indulgent, and exquisite tasting eggshells I've ever ground up in my mouth. Sign up now for your subscription to Pre-Eggshells with the promo code Malakum for 20% off your subscription, and Pre-Eggshells send you 5 chickens with your own harvesting tool. I've been harvesting my own eggshells for 2 weeks now, and let me tell you, it is a blast choking my chicken while getting my nutrients. That's Pre-Eggshells, and you can find them at preeggshells.com.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. You did a masterful job.
Thank you.
Who's got the soundboard here? Which one of you is hitting me with a soundboard?
For sure not me.
Okay, I figured out who it is now. All right, so I want to kick this off with an important question. John, I prepped you with this one, and I want to hear your thinking on it. If you had to, would you prefer to fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
I mean, a horse-sized duck just seems terrifying. I mean, how could you even deal with that beak, right? It's going to eat you alive. Have you ever even tried to fight a normal-sized duck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, has it bitten you? I mean, that's got a bit of a bite, their little beak there.
You kick
quick.
You deal with them the same way you deal with cat and geese. I know you.
Or a swan. You know, I got into it with a swan once. And, you know, the neck, they've got some reach, you know? But yes. I would definitely take 100 horse-size or duck-size horses. No problem. You know? You just kick them around.
They kick back.
Yeah, but how hard is that really going to be? Even if they do one of those, like, you know, backward, whatever it's called. Like, if it's just a duck-sized thing, it's not going to hurt very much.
I suppose that's fair.
It's the horse-size beak of the duck that is really the differentiating factor here. I mean, that could just crush your skull with one thing, like one bite.
I'm with John here. Like, even psychologically speaking, having that thing attack you would just shatter you. Like, versus like, I've been attacked by like Canadian geese before, right? Like, you get 3 or 4 of these coming at you. It's scary, but I didn't feel like it was life threatening.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically dinosaurs. They're dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly.
You're fighting a dinosaur.
I mean, duck-sized horses would just be kind of cute to play around with. Like, you'd almost roll in the grass and be like, you know, have a nice little cuddle time or something. You know?
Okay. You cuddle with horses a lot? No
worries. I cuddle with anything small and furry that's friendly, you know?
Is that why you gave me a hug the other day?
I give you a hug because it's amazing to hug a big, hulky teddy bear like yourself, Greg.
All right, Labrador.
Yeah, that's
you?
The truth.
This 50-cent soundboard is fucking fantastic. I can't wait to hear this later. All right, so because of the ad read, I got to ask you, I saw some posts of you eating eggshells in your food, and I'm curious about why you were doing that.
Fair. I don't know. I can't remember where I saw it. Some, you know, health influencer person did it one day somewhere, Instagram, you know, like one of these Dave Asprey biohacking types. I don't think it was him though. They were just like, you know, it's got bioavailable calcium, and I didn't need to look into it any further. So I just crushed up a bunch of eggshells and put it over my beef, and it's not bad. You know, it gives it some texture. It's not like as, you know, there's no taste to it, but if you're just eating like ground beef and some sweet potatoes or whatever, you know, it actually gives it some nice breadth of texture. Although I've stopped just because, I don't know why I've stopped. I guess it's annoying. You have to have the eggshells, right? Which means you'd have to have eaten eggs or cook with the eggs. And these days I usually just eat steaks, so I don't have that many eggs.
Okay, so it's not something you're trying to get into the family restaurant.
No. Although an eggshell pizza, that could be a hit. You never know, you know? People
you
like
really
different.
Don't. People you really like don't.
Oh, man, don't put that on the pizza. You're going to get mad.
Pizza.
Ardy, what do you put on the pizza?
Fish and chips, mate.
Fuck you, man.
I don't know if you were here. I don't know if you saw the last episode, John, but Yellow got a call sign from Preston Pish. It was Fish and Chips, and he absolutely hates it. So any chance I get, we call him Fish and Chips.
Why wonderful. Did Preston come up with that call sign?
We were talking about RB's favorite pizza and the fact that Yellow finds it absolutely disgusting. And there are apparently two rules to a call sign. Number one, you can't like it. And number two, you can't give it to yourself. So,
what was Preston's?
Spectre 6.
That's his call sign?
That's his call sign.
Why would you not like that? That's badass.
It's badass, right? Maybe they gave it to him and he just pretended like he didn't like it.
Right. Yeah. So he could have it.
So he could have it. Yeah. Oh, guys, I hate that. Don't call me that.
All the same, though, fish and chips on pizza. I hope you're joking. That's outrageous.
Oh, no, he's got pictures of it. Domino's in Britain makes it. I don't know if you can find it and do a share screen, RD, but if you want to make John. Let's make John throw up on screen. It'd be a great podcast today.
That is not true. You cannot buy fish and chips pizza in Domino's Pizza in the UK.
Who is that?
It sounds believable.
Bluff.
Watch Bluff. This space.
Yeah, watch it.
There's only one pizza you ever get, and that's a Diavola pizza with Calamata olives. That's it.
What is
no
it?
No pineapple Diavola? On that shit.
What's a Diavola?
It's like salami with a few chili flakes on it, and then Calamata olives. Just simple, classic.
Are you still rocking the keto paleo stuff, John?
No. I never really adhered to it that tightly. Like I did experimentally. Like I've pretty much tried every diet for like at least 3 or 4 months just to see. Is that? All right. Oh, there's a photo.
That's it. Yes.
Oh God, that looks disgusting. No, but I've never for long periods done that. Basically, I just eat a shit ton of meat, like steaks. I just go and buy massive tenderloins, and I eat a bunch of liver, and then I eat, you know, like sweet potatoes and rice occasionally with that. And then the other 10% of the time, I eat pizza because it's the best thing ever.
Yes.
So like once a week, I probably have a big fat pizza to myself. And of course, you know, I have the occasional beer, and that's obviously not keto.
No. With kicking the carbs during the rest of the week, or do you find that balance works?
I don't kick the carbs. I just move them to the evening because, like, if I have them in the morning, my energy's all fucked up, and I'm not as focused and shit. But I eat a ton of fruit, mangoes and strawberries and bananas and that jazz. And I don't know if this is actually legit. I've read it before, but like maybe you get a bit of an insulin dump after you have the carbs at night, and that kind of helps you sleep. Yeah. And that's my reasoning.
You're effectively replenishing. I'm the same. If I have like a carb heavy brekkie in the morning, I'm wrecked.
Exactly. And I mean, depending on your activity level, you can't. Yeah, I know you can go like full hardcore carnivore and keto, and a lot of people seem to perform well on that. But I find, first of all, I'm just not giving up fruit because fruit's fucking amazing. But I find I need some carbs. You know, these days I'm training quite a lot, and I just feel like I'm better with carbs. That's also why I'm drinking more, because there's no fucking drink. There's no better post-workout beverage than a cold beer. It doesn't exist. And so like the problem with me these days working out at night, there's a MMA gym around the corner. Like we finish up at 7:30, and like nothing feels better than crushing two or three beer after that shit. Nothing. So, you know, balance.
MMA,
that's what
right?
I'm trying to say. What's
balance.
That?
MMA gym, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you smashing other people about?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. No, it's a nice little like community gym. So there's paying members, and then there's kids from the neighborhood that get to work out and train there and stuff. I guess it's mostly just MMA or Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. I don't think there's much wrestling or other disciplines, but it's sufficient. Now,
can you say where you are right now?
I haven't been. I don't know why. It just feels like the right move right now.
You're not in Canada.
I'm not in Canada. Fuck that place.
Exactly.
Good. So good outlet, mate.
You went to Australia.
Yes.
Exactly. That's why. That's why you've been shirtless. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's hot where I am.
Exactly.
Seriously, though, I mean, I knew when I was leaving that I was not going back, but it is just, man, what a shit show. I mean, I guess silver lining, it's not as bad as Australia yet, but holy shit.
You don't think you're going back?
No.
Well, you spent a bunch of time in Singapore, didn't you?
Shanghai in China.
Shanghai.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never really lived home since I left after university, but I mean, how could you go back to a place like that? You know, like it's just descending into communist tyranny, authoritarianism, blah, 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 with every day. And so few people have any problem with it whatsoever. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But no, I think I'm amongst the refugee diaspora. You know, the Americans have it, you know, relatively privileged at the moment because they can head to a red state and at least there's some like-minded people there and there's lots of guns and that always helps. But for the rest of us, like, you know, it's that we're playing that Arab game, sovereign individual playing out right before our eyes.
And we got jurisdictional arbitrage inside the states. That's okay for now.
I mean, what were the details on that Biden thing coming November? Because I heard different interpretations, but is that you're not allowed in the country unless you're vaxxed?
The only Biden thing I saw recently was they're trying to get it passed where if you don't get vaccinated in the army, you'll get a dishonorable discharge. I didn't read too much.
Because it was when they were talking about reopening it to Europeans, right? So you don't have to do that 2-week thing in Mexico or whatever. And so they're going to open it back up to Europeans, but everyone's going to have to be vaxxed. And I thought as part of that, it was like across the board, anyone coming in on commercial airlines had to be vaxxed.
That's what I thought as well. Maybe someone can correct me, but I thought any foreign adult nationals arriving into the US had to be vaccinated, yeah.
That would be a huge blow to.
Oh, yeah. That's
isn't there always a caveat to that or you got to get tested one or the other?
I thought there had been. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of speaking out of my ass, but that was the headline. But I think I first read it from Zero Hedge, and their headlines are always fucking dramatic as shit. So who knows?
I mean, they're just
pushing it,
right?
Not Zero Hedge.
What'd you say, Mike?
They're pushing. They're going to keep pushing.
Yeah.
In whatever jurisdiction, you know, it's kind of one step back, two steps forward for them, I think, based on their own geographical arbitrage. I mean, they're well ahead of the game with Australia and Canada now, to a lesser extent, but still very much so.
And, I saw a restaurateur in Canada, you know, basically on Instagram going through like the just how irrational everything is, because he was saying like you can get fined if you deny entry to someone based on their status or through like the Canadian Charter of Human Rights, whatever, but you get fined and penalized more if you let people in, if you don't go along with the new regulations. And he was saying that the max penalty is a year in prison and a $10 million fine if you don't abide by these new regulations for, you know, restricting access to like your restaurant, for example, for if people don't show their status.
Yeah. Which is terrifying.
I mean, not that any of you need to hear more how crazy everything is. But,
yeah. I mean, $10 million. Going to put the willies at people and make them really think twice.
Mike, we talked about this. You can't put your willy up people unless you ask nicely. Can't do it.
Sorry.
This is a family-friendly stream.
No, it isn't.
You're going to get us banned on test stream 3 or 5, whatever we're in. Fish and chips.
Can we make this official stream 1 just so we can all feel more, you know, particularly me, feel more special about things?
No.
No?
No, we fully intend to never have an official stream. They will all be test streams from here to the end of infinity. And, yeah. Sorry, John. But I am curious. Oh, shit, what is Sean drinking? Was that vodka, bro? No, he's muted. And Sean, all right, I know you had a question for John. I want to hear what it is. Guys, I know you.
Guys.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no. Valis.
Hey, buddy.
Keep it down, dude. I'm time to sleep here.
Where's your avatar? God. Give it to us, Sean. What's the Valis question? I know you have it.
My Wi-Fi is terrible. Can you hear me?
Was that your question, gotcha. Sean?
That's a great question.
Is that the question? Yeah.
No. I can't. I'm in a group clock.
You're on a group clock?
Somebody else asked my question. I just texted it to the group.
Nobody else knows your question. What do you mean? All right,
I texted it.
When you say text it, you mean you put it in the chat that doesn't exist?
Okay, Sean, I told you 1,000 times you need to update Grindr, okay?
Version 7.2.
All right, so the question is, dang, I feel like Labra right now. I'm in the bad internet gulag. That's not a question. That's not a question. I'm sorry to tell you, Sean.
And the other question is way too racist to ask on YouTube.
Yeah, that's not a question either. You could always cross through the Mexican border. You're not even following the conversation, Sean.
Damn it, Sean.
Jesus Christ, what are we doing with you? Someone asked Valis. Oh, that is a good question. I mean, there's not a question mark on it, but someone asked Valis about the Breedlove situation and what his thoughts are right now. As far as I understand, he had some internet connectivity issues and you guys had to reschedule before it got juicy.
I mean, it is weird that the very moment we started talking about it, his internet craps out. I mean, it's just one of those weird fucking things. But we're getting back together on Saturday to hash it out. So, but I mean, my initial response is the same, or my feeling now is the same as it was initially. And when Rob and I first spoke, I told him this, and basically I just said, like, I think it's, you know, I think you were being disingenuous in the original tweet, and people are used to, you know, you being forthright and very articulate with your, you know, your, what you say on Twitter and your insights about money, and everybody loves it. And I just think you zigged where you should have zagged on this one. And, you know, the doubling down and stuff never helps once you kick the hornet's nest and everyone gets into a, you know, a kind of a fight. But yeah, I just think he messed up. And what's not, like, again, we're going to discuss all this on Saturday, but it's not so much the shitcoin thing. Like, I don't touch shitcoins, right? I don't think I can play that game and turn it into more Bitcoin. I love the just mental clarity I get from not fucking worrying about, like, it's obviously we all feel this way and normies probably cannot appreciate it, but I go to bed with almost complete certainty that, like, my wealth is, I don't have to worry about it at all. Like, I'm not, and so all, like, what is 200 fucking percent, you know, CAGR, not a year CAGR, not good enough for you? Like, you want to mess around and try to buy Solana at $1 and sell it at 200? Like, go for it. I mean, I'm for me, it's just like, there's far more, I'm okay with that rate of return, obviously, in Bitcoin. And the mental clarity and, like, the zenness I get from having that approach frees up my mind to, like, pursue other more interesting things and contribute to what we're all kind of dancing around and trying to build here. So, like, you know, I don't think you're a horrible person if you mess around with shitcoins. I don't do it, and it messes. It wouldn't enhance my life in any way. It would be a big stress, and I would probably lose money. But I just think he wasn't being upfront with what he was doing. Like, he should have just been like, yo, apparently I got 50 grand waiting for me. And, 80. You know, who? What's that?
When it was 80, right?
Whatever it was. But it's like somehow right, well, this market.
While we're here, let's just inflate it. It was 150, right?
Yeah.
All he had to do was tweet it out, and he had 300 grand sitting in the bank. That's a lot of corn.
Who can turn down $1 million?
Who can turn down $1 million? I wouldn't.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just sitting there waiting to be taken. And I think we all would appreciate it if he was like, yo, there's 50 grand waiting for me. Can I just take this? You know, but it was, he packaged it differently. And so, you know, I appreciate the response from everybody, because, like, obviously nobody that criticized Rob for that, or that was part of the chorus of criticism, like, none of us are perfect here, right? But we are holding each other to, except for you, Greg, sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate
but it. We're holding each other to a higher principled standard, right? Like, whether we know it or not, like, we're building this new culture on a more solid and more overt bedrock of principles, and because we're coming from one that lacks them so, you know, greatly. And you know, that I love how there's this group of people that will, as imperfect as they are, hold you to that, and they'll be like, yo, bro, like, you fucked up on this one. And I don't think that, you know, you can tell anyone to go suck your balls at any time. It's fine. Like, you don't have to care what anybody thinks in this space, and nobody should.
But I do.
You should think about the signal that's coming at you and why. And at the very least, you know, like, not completely dismiss it, that there isn't a signal within that noise, I guess, let's say. And so I don't really have a problem with how things went down. And I think Rob and, you know, this quote unquote community, I know some are triggered by that term, but is better for these events happening and then discussing them and hashing them out and eliciting some, you know, some wisdom from them and then moving forward. Cause, like, Rob is fucking awesome. He's a brother. I love him. And I know he's a good person. I just think he happened to make a mistake here. And maybe, he didn't fully recognize it, or maybe he still doesn't. You know, that's why the conversation on Saturday might be interesting. But it's not like I'm not dismissing or casting Rob out of the anything for what happened. I feel like my role as a friend is to communicate with him honestly, and then, you know, allow him to make decisions for himself and readjust accordingly. But
you had a great conversation with Jordan Peterson recently. It seemed like during the conversation he had, like, some enlightening moments, or maybe they were, or sometimes it seemed like he was almost summarizing what one of you were saying, like, in his own way of talking. Did that seem genuine in the moment, or was some of that, is he already a Bitcoiner, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Oh, Peterson, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, what did I say?
I wasn't sure if you're referring to Rob or Peterson, but I think it was totally genuine. Like, he doesn't get it yet, and I know he's talked to Safe and a few other people since, so he's presumably on the road. But no, that to me, that was all, like, spontaneous. Like, I just think Peterson sees the world more than most people through the realm of meaning, and that allows him to pierce the veneer of, like, you know, distraction or illusion way more naturally than most of us. And so when we're throwing out, and we did the book club in the first place because we all appreciated his thinking, and that has all influenced and informed our own thinking. And so it's not that I even tried to use his language when we were talking to him that much. Like, I think his language is applicable to Bitcoin. And so that's the way we discussed it on the pod. But it was amazing to see him, like, not get the full picture, but get certain elements, like, just through the course of conversation, and we reflect on the hangout with Kaysen and Hoddle and Breedlove the other day, like we reflected on it, and I didn't notice it so much at the time, but when I watched it back, I did, and I was like, holy shit, like, he just like in the stream of consciousness, he got like some very profound and deep elements of this thing. So I have no doubt that Peterson is going to be a laser-eyed, like hardcore Bitcoiner at some point, probably soon, because his mind won't let him.
He's not down with the lasers. He's not doing it. No.
But like his mind won't let him let it go. Like if he even has an inkling of a belief that there's an incorruptible thing out there that communicates value and that can, as a result of that, like convey meaning, coordinate things, like all the things we know to this, his, like, he won't just be like, cool, bro. Like no. He will obsess about that because those are the things that he's always been thinking about. So it's pretty interesting, you know, it'd be interesting to see how long it takes for all that to pan out.
What's the normal learning curve?
Sorry, Greg. Have you got another call put with him, John? Has he reached out, you know, to you again yet?
We had one scheduled, and then some of his health issues flared up apparently, and so we're rescheduling it now. If I had to guess, I'd say it'll happen in October sometime.
Ace.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Right.
But that'd be great too. I mean, I'd be super excited for that because we just have 3 hours to like rip it wide open and just see where we went, you know. And I'd, you know, try to throw off all the filters and just, you know, because he, you know, Peterson, I don't know if you guys saw his interview with, I think it was John Vervaeke, who Breedlove had on his podcast or is currently doing a series with. And anyways, like sometimes Peterson like interrupts a lot, right? And on the one hand, I love that because you get like this natural stream of thoughts as they emerge. But also sometimes it means that like the response that requires a finish from the guest to get the full meaning of it is truncated and cut off, and therefore you don't get it. And the flow of the string of meaning that they're putting together is affected as a result, right? But even so, like I think firing one up with Peterson and just kind of like letting the RPMs rip and just kind of getting crazy together and seeing what happens would be cool. So, you know, hopefully it comes together.
Yeah. I was impressed to see how open he was to the conversation versus, and not necessarily trying to, sometimes people come in and try to fix something or point out all the flaws without understanding everything, like Lex Friedman or something like that. Peterson's way more humble than,
yeah, he's not one of those academic people that thinks they're know-it-alls, you know, like he's, not to say he's perfect, of course, but I mean, here's the thing. I think if your quest for truth is genuine, humility is a natural, unavoidable consequence because it necessitates the presumption that the person you're talking with knows something you don't that could inform you on your quest for truth. And I think Peterson like really embodies that and expresses that. Whereas some of these famous like academics or thought leaders or whoever they are, like I think they kind of buy into their identity as like a smart person, like, you know, and buy into a little bit too much at the exclusion of having a fully sincere quest for truth, you know. And Friedman's not a bad guy, but he obviously just fucked it up entirely when he came into Bitcoin, and similar with the Weinsteins and many other examples.
That's like the Chris guy too, right, where he's spouting off all kinds of stuff about Bitcoin that he doesn't.
Yeah, but he's actually probably not that smart. I mean, I don't really like the beef between the Bitcoin space and Chris Guy, because why not press advantage on all fronts? Like, I don't want to be out on the streets doing that thing, right? Like, my approach to all this stuff is different, but you know, I appreciate what he's doing because like he is generating a groundswell. He is generating, like, he's bringing people together saying it's because these sorts of things need someone who's going to put their balls on the line and be like, yo, this is not fucking right.
I'm going to Jordan B. Peterson you right now and interrupt, because this is, it's the same thing we were talking about earlier. I mean, the same reason the community community, you know, barked at Breedlove. Was that a burp, or were you just surprised that I said community?
Gasp.
I don't want to know. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, the guy comes in not knowing anything, trying to talk about how he's going to fix the world and how we need to support him with our money. I mean, like, he clearly doesn't get it. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who are trying. I know there are a lot of Bitcoiners that like the guy, or at least used to like the guy until fairly recently. Yeah. And, you know, trying to explain things to him well. And the guy just went over his head, wanted it to be about him. And now you get ridiculed. Now you get ridiculed.
He's fucking it up massively too, right? Because, like, you know, okay, like, people are more than happy to appreciate the work you're doing on the ground and all this stuff, but, like, you know, stop being so egotistical and all about you, and recognize when you're entering into a domain that you don't know that much about, you know, just fucking, because imagine if he had come in differently. It was like, guys, I don't know shit about fuck about all this stuff, but, you know, I'm here on the ground. Teach me, inform me. Like, what do you guys think about this? You're doing that approach. I'm doing this approach. Maybe if we collaborate, you know, the whole movement can be stronger together. I mean, he would have gotten insane amounts of support. But instead, you know, he chose the egotistical route, and now it's just nonstop fighting between him and the Bitcoiner space. And, like, I can't blame anybody because he is being a douche a lot of the time. You know,
I agree. Yeah. He is being a douche. You know, the guy is a warrior, and playing, let's say, you know, advocate for the guy for a second, he's out on the street every day. You know, he's not hitting Twitter, or if he is, he's, you know, he's front line, man. You know, he's really fucking trying to stick it to the man, and I've got to give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. He's doing more than most people will do to push back on all this bullshit, even though he's not a Bitcoiner. But yeah,
and all he needs is your Bitcoin to do better.
Yeah, and I gave him shit about that today, right? You know, he said today, yeah, send me a Bitcoin because the government wants to take it. And I replied to him saying, you know, that's quite a take, that we need to send you our Bitcoin because the government needs to take it.
I had a good laugh. That was a good tweet.
this is the thing that I think you occasionally get these nuggets, right? Where that ended up leading, that conversation ended up leading to him agreeing to do an interview tomorrow with Cedric.
The entertainer?
Yeah. So he's on with him tomorrow. And nice. He was trying to loop in. I think Spetsky replied. They were trying to get Laser involved as well. So, you know, something good might come of that. And the fact that Chris said, yeah, I'm down, call me, and that they've got it scheduled now for tomorrow afternoon. At least the guy is open. If he's got shitty tape coming out of it, then so be it. But the fact that he's willing to engage on it, I think, says at least something about his character. But it just it takes a long time for the sap to drop, right? Depending on who you are. And so I hope he gets it, because with the election's over now and Trudeau's fucking unemphatic win, what else is he going to talk to people about? You know, is he going to just carry on fly posting barbershops?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's important that you push back. All these things are important to do, but Bitcoin is a really important thing to grok at this point, and I think he needs to understand that. So,
yeah. And he's just so about himself that it's going to, that one's a hard, like, that attitude is going to make you miss a lot of stuff ultimately.
Yeah.
And also, for fuck's sakes, I mean, spell check one of your tweets. I mean, I just, when I read his tweets, I'm like, why are there like 10 unnecessary letters in this tweet? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just bothers me.
It's all right. His fingers are like his teeth. They're just too big. He mashes the keyboard.
Of course, Greg went there. Of course.
Of course I went there. Earlier, I was like this. Sorry, he pissed me off when he said, give me your money, Bitcoiners, so I can save you. Sorry, that's it for me. You're toast. I'm gonna start making fun of you.
Try the XRP army, bro. I'm sure that you'll have much better luck.
Oof.
So what would he have to do to make it to the 100K party, John?
That ain't happening. Well, I don't think that's happening. I mean, he'd have to completely flop and humble himself and just stop being a douche, you know. And there's a lot of plebs in front of him, so you know. I don't see it.
Look, douchebag has already been taken in the space. There's plenty of us. I'm one of them. He can't have the spot. He can't have it. I'm gonna sit in it. He can't take it from me. Sorry.
Fair. I think that's fair.
Now you have.
When are we getting 100K?
You tell me. You're organizing the party.
Do you still have tickets for that?
There we go.
John,
tickets.
Do you still have tickets available for the 100K party?
I never had tickets for it.
Did you get dressed up? How do I get in?
Yes, sir.
When are we getting there? When's 100K happening?
Look, the last time I asked you to do anything price related, you gave me shit and said you only do big dog moves. So you tell me, when's 100K coming?
October 27th.
I said I don't fuck around with little price bumps, and when it's time to break through an all time high, you call your boy. That's what I was saying.
But well, I mean, you didn't say it quite like that. You said you basically only fuck with big time price bumps.
I only fuck with smashing through all time highs with big green dildos.
That's what yeah, give me them dildos. Yes.
Green dildos, let's go.
Now you're speaking our language.
Yeah, I knew we got them on here for a reason. All right, so you recently had Adam back on Rapid Fire, and you guys touched on something that I have been super interested in, because you were talking about Bitcoin being a constant, right? So an economic constant, similar to like constants in physics, like the speed of light or the rate of acceleration of gravity in the Earth. And it got my mind going. I like you guys started talking about it, and I couldn't think about anything else. And the conversation went off somewhere else, but I was like, all right, I gotta ask John about this when he comes on the show. And you know, every time a natural constant has been discovered in science, it's advanced by leaps and bounds human capabilities as far as technology is concerned and prediction of the future is concerned. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are with what happens to the human economic sphere and praxeology or economics once the Bitcoin constant becomes the base layer of the economy. Like, what do you see happening?
Changing up the tone just a little bit. You know, the reason why I brought it up with Adam was obviously, you know, he's cited in the white paper, he's been around for ages, instrumental in a lot of stuff. Constants in general, like I agree. I mean, it's almost this weird paradox where maybe this always seems to be the case, but like limitation is what provides for freedom. Right. And what I mean by that is like all the forces that act on us, gravity and the speed of light and all, like all those immutable laws of physics and the universe, like they all had to be immutable to allow life to coalesce around them. If they were always changing, then that couldn't have happened. Right. You need those solid parameters to have like confidence in them that things have the necessary time to build and develop and evolve around those things. And yeah, I think the big question is Bitcoin an economic, or, you know, economic seems a little bit narrow, but like, is it another type of constant that humans now interact with? You know what I'm saying? Why are you flexing right now?
Somebody, Parrot Boss, wanted to see my biceps.
All right, can you do it one more time?
Okay.
Not bad. You weren't flexing on that second one. I want you to give me a good pump on that one.
There you go.
Come on, tighten them up.
That's as tight as they get, that's John. That's as tight as they get.
He's a potato, John. You got to forgive him.
Definitely. Look at him turning red. My whole body's turning red. Jeez, I'm embarrassed. All right, nice. Well done.
Yeah, so I mean, as to what's going to happen, who the fuck knows, right? I mean, it's a completely bizarre, unprecedented sort of thing that humans have developed.
Somebody kicked John off. He said he doesn't know. I don't want him on here anymore.
But here's the thing. Here's the question I was trying to get at with Adam. So because of course we're always going to think that we can make this thing better. That's what humans do, right? We look at it, and because we're so fucking stupid, and because our time preference is as it is, and because we're as imperfect as we are, and blah, 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 we look at things and be like, we can change this and make things better. And the fact is that a lot of the time we're right about that. We are able to improve things. So it's kind of like the trap is like, where do you impose limitation voluntarily? Where are the benefits of imposing voluntation voluntarily exceed the attempts at improvement? Like, how do we know even how to apply a principle like that or approach things that way? And with Bitcoin, I wonder if it's the case that like our kind of wisdom is being tested as a species to know whether or not this is the place where we impose limitation voluntarily such that we can net more benefits from it as a result of doing so than constantly tinkering with it. And
I think it's voluntary at this point?
Well, like, I guess it depends on your, like, from what perspective you're coming from, right? Like, it's not from the perspective of an individual, but like the point is that Bitcoin
Let me rephrase. All right. Do you think, and this is going to harken back to a conversation you had with American HODL, you know, Bitcoiner to Bitcoiner, how inevitable does it seem?
I mean, it seems pretty fucking inevitable. Old school. Very nice. Very well done.
Thank you.
That would have been the first episode, but HODL messaged me. We had it scheduled, and he messaged me. He said, I'm going to be hungover that day. We need to reschedule. So that then Ben ended up being the first episode. But very nice.
How many years ago is that?
Two, like this month, probably.
Oh, wow. Probably,
yeah.
I didn't realize Rapid Fire was that young.
Yeah, 2 years old, just a baby. But here's the thing. This is what I was getting at with Adam is, you know, because, you know, when SegWit happened, right, and the effect of block size increase, for example, like, did, even though we have these benefits from it now, you know, and all the today in particular is, you know, amazing day for Lightning Network, the Twitter stuff. Did we sow the seeds of its, like speculating, right? Did we sow the seeds of its demise just by that type of change that was made to it? Or did we get away with one and should we just be sure never to change it again? Because, you know, there's lots of people in the space that are like, well, lots of people like block size smaller, block size bigger. And then of course there's people that even kind of throw it out there like, well, what if the inflation, there was an inflation rate, but it was just a consistent inflation rate forever? And like, what are the arguments around that? And like, this is kind of the point. Like, I don't think it matters too much what the parameters are, because we're always going to be trying to suiting them to our needs. What matters is that we have an immutable parameter, and that is what delivers the freedom and the potential and the possibility from this thing in the human interpersonal realm or the economic realm. So I don't have an answer to it. That's why I was asking Adam, because he's a shitload smarter than me. But, you know, we shall see, you know. I don't know. What do you guys think? I'll eat steak while you answer.
I want to hear Plan Marcus's thoughts on Bitcoin as a framework for the economic development of humanity. I mean, if you guys don't,
I think it's a super interesting question, right? Like, if yeah, you know, if you would have changed the parameters a little bit or the inflation rate, if would it have failed? I don't know. I have no clue. Obviously, it's been genius. He thought of it the way it did, and that, you know, basically, I don't know if it's in one go, but pretty much, it's, you know, you had one try, and to think that like so much years later, now 12 years later, it's almost incredible how everything could have worked out so perfectly. You know, did he really think of all these things up front? Would have it been a lot different if he changed some of those parameters? I don't know. You know, like maybe like the halving cycles. What if they were like 1 year apart? Would that make
a
difference?
That's a good example. And I think, you know, part that maybe speaks to the broader point of not changing shit is because like to all we know, and perhaps this isn't the case, perhaps there's a reason, but like some of the parameters, like you said, like, you know, block time, halving cycle, whatever, are ostensibly arbitrary to some degree. I mean, I don't know how they could not be arbitrary. There may be some reasoning behind them, but it's still subject to, you know, still might be right or wrong reasoning. But I think the point is that like maybe this thing is successful is because like regardless of what the parameters are, the interaction of those parameters with human psychology and behavior is what matters. Like we will coalesce the right way around this thing to make it successful, kind of regardless of the minutia of the arbitrary parameters. But the important thing is that those parameters don't change, you know. So
again, I don't. Constant.
Yeah. And as to what's going to happen, I mean, fuck it. Obviously, a renaissance the likes of which we've never seen. Hopefully, we'll be around to see it. So,
Bitcoiner. The renaissance is fucking inevitable.
Yeah, obviously.
I really like that.
That's why the fuck are we here?
Exactly.
Go ahead, Marcus.
One of the things I love your pod so much, John, is that you've always seemed to have focused on like what does it do with the Bitcoiner itself, you know, not so much or price or whatever, but you seem to focus in on how Bitcoin changes people, how they interact with Bitcoin, how they interact with other people, what it does with their own life and stuff. And that I love thinking about that. And I some kind of always see, like, you know, we all know it's like, okay, you cannot grok Bitcoin in 1 day, probably not even in 1 year. You know, it just, every time you think you figured it out, or then you realize, wait a minute, you know, like there's way much more than actually don't know anything. And I was actually leading up to a question.
This is eggshells.
He got distracted by the shirtless
guy. Sorry for the distraction. But I mean, do you got it? Do you got the question? Because I can certainly comment on what you said so far.
Yeah, go ahead.
Give him a minute.
Get back to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing here, right? And like, I think we're, even us, as retarded as we are, we're way underestimating what we're encountering here. And like, so it goes two ways in my mind. We're overdoing it. We're applying more meaning to it than is deserving. It will at some point fail and we'll all be devastated. The constants doesn't exist. The world is fucked. That's one option. The other option in my mind is it actually is real. We're having a hard time integrating its meaning because it's so anomalous. It's so unprecedented. And all we can do is kind of sit back and, you know, throw these ideas around with other people and try to understand what's happening to us internally as a result of our interaction with this thing. And be transformed by it almost subconsciously. Like to some degree, we're aware of different changes and how our time preference changes and how our approach to different things changes. But I think it's way more foreign than we think in terms of what human beings have ever encountered before. And as a result, for me, one of the most interesting things to pursue is like, well, what happens to human beings when they encounter and integrate and understand this thing? And that's part of the reason why the rabbit hole is so limitless, you know, because their human evolution is constantly unfolding. And so we are a product of our environment. We're a product of our culture. We're a product of the signals that we see from that culture. And we're a product of our systems evaluation. We're a product of where our systems evaluation come from, like whatever nexus of meaning that ultimately is. And so that's evolving now, perhaps at a more accelerated rate than ever, and seemingly inspired or instigated by this thing, you know, and then juxtaposed against the insanity of a dying culture that was predicated on something totally different. I mean, that contrast alone creates a lot of individual and personal change, right? Because not only are you trying to integrate this new anomalous thing that's changed your way of perceiving in many different ways. And again, like your systems of evaluation are how you perceive, and this thing is changing those, and therefore it's changing how you perceive. In nestled within a degrading, decrepit culture predicated, you know, on lies and corruption and unfairness and all those things. So like our ancestors are going to have a way easier time. Like they'll be all zenned out and they'll still be like pursuing like what is Bitcoin, but they'll be way more Jedi about it, right? Like we're the ones that got to be dragged through, like just torn out of the fucking old shitty culture to get into that new thing, right? So we're having the hardest time integrating, you know, what the fuck this thing is.
We're Neo. We're Neo coming we're out Neo. Of the pod. We just got flushed out.
That's why we look so good.
We're still malnourished, fucked up from the old system.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited for the leaps and bounds of improvement in praxeology and economics that are going to come from it, an economics baseline, an economic constant. I think it's going to be really, really explosive growth in the human condition, period. Improvements in the human condition, period, because we now have truth at the economic base layer every 10 fucking minutes. Yeah. And it can't be undone.
I think, I agree. And I think future generations, all this will be so like by default integrated that like, I wonder even like, will the study of economics even be a thing? Because
of course it will. Physics didn't change because we figured out the speed of light. Economics will improve because now it's not based on, and you're not going to have screwed up ideologies and screwed up formulas because you're working on a fiat base layer where your baseline.
I agree. I guess I should say, like, I wonder how much.
That's a quick turnaround. All right. So you went from disagreeing to agreeing in about 10 seconds.
No. You fucking jutted in before I explained myself.
You fucking explain yourself. Right? It's my pod. The frogs are gay.
Your pod? What the fuck?
Oh, someone's a little big shot here now, huh?
Guys, can you stop fighting?
How much will be like finance rather than economics? Because like if the rules of the game are set, like I think fiat has made like the studying economics and all these different like interventions in economics far bigger than it ought to be. Managing finance and making investments and all that kind of stuff is the realm of finance, as far as I am concerned. And I wonder how much there'll be left in economics and how much will be the realm of planning, finance, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
that's going to be probably studied. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to.
No, that's probably going to be studied in the future. And people will say, like, there was this dark time in human history where governments and central banks used to print money to infinity. And I guess that will be the start of the new economics.
Well, sure. I mean, the thing, it's unavoidable as far as I'm concerned. Like, we think we live in like obviously chronologically speaking, we live in the modern world, right? But I think they'll look back on this period as a dark age, like a really, really, really dark age. And I know, like, you know, we have SpaceX and Netflix and cell phones and it's all great. But like with the contrast of the Renaissance to come, I mean, you could pick 100 things that happen in the world today that they're going to be disgusted by, that like we put up with and the behavior we got on with. Not dissimilar to like, you know, how Renaissance Europe looked back on, you know, earlier periods in Europe. And so they're not going to be very complimentary of this period of time that we currently exist in, you know, the future historians.
Completely agree.
And some dudes without a shirt streaming on YouTube changed the
figured
world.
It all out. Some history class is watching this right now. What's up, guys? How's it going? Are you rich as fuck?
People from the future. Hello, people from the future.
No, but back to what someone was saying about how it affects, like, just think about it. Our kind of this idea of Bitcoin leading to some kind of enlightenment, like not culturally, but individually, is how do you get to that stage? I mean, obviously we're just spitballing here because nobody really knows or can articulate what that frame of mind or consciousness might be, but perhaps we've all had glimpses of it. But like, it almost seems like it's when your hierarchy of valuation is properly aligned and subordinated to the things of greatest meaning or power, whatever that may be, like the unconscious, the force of the universe, God, whatever. It's like it all stacks up properly. And I think what's interesting about Bitcoin is that because it communicates pristinely the preferences of all people, you're then dealing with the best feedback and signal possible to get construct your own value hierarchies, you know, because we all outsource part of our cognitive load to culture to try to understand the meaning and the value of things. And when that signal is pure, and then we, you know, culture coalesces around a pure signal, I think we each have access to, or it's easier for each of us to construct hierarchies that are somehow more grounded in truth. And if that's the case, like, where do they lead to? I think wherever that place is at the top of the stairwell, I think Bitcoin allows you to construct the stairway to it more easily. And that's a far out notion, right? The fact that a incorruptible or pristine money can kind of deliver to you a consciousness that is properly hierarchically organized toward the mystery that lies beyond it, whether that's God or whatever, you know? And so that's weird.
That's deep. That's deep and a good place to end this one.
Didn't we have some questions about psychedelics? I don't know. I have to think about that now, but
I think you might have time to fire one of those off. You got it, yeah. Marcus?
You got one?
And did you mute?
Quite.
Tell us about psychedelics, John.
He's tripping right now.
As soon as the shirt came off, he was tripping.
It's kind of a broad subject. You want to narrow it down a little bit?
I genuinely don't know.
I think we might have lost Marcus at this point.
Yeah, we lost somebody. But
how convenient.
Yes.
He pulled a breather. All right, John.
Cool. I'm still here.
Give us the question. What's the question?
Damn it, Marcus.
John, Marcus. We are super appreciative of your time today. Thank you for everything you're doing with your show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, can you show us a little bit about the CT show and your other pod?
It's been an honor, gentlemen, of course. The show is called Bitcoin Rapid Fire. And let me ask you this. So I started the show, it was broken down into two parts, right? There was like a conversation and then there was like this rapid fire thing at the end. And it was originally done because, like, you know, human interest, you give people the same 10 questions and you can compare them and just kind of, you get to see where people's heads are at when you don't give much time to respond to singular words. But anyways, I got away from that because it's not my style at all. Like I want to chew up 3 hours and just chat and not be all kind of weird and formal with a list like that. But does the name, like, what's in a name? Does the name still make sense, or is it change?
I was going to ask you this question. Because I completely agree with
what it doesn't make sense.
That it doesn't make sense. And actually, when I first tuned into your pod, yeah, you were still doing that, but you've totally morphed into something else now. And I don't think the title does it justice. I'm being completely honest.
No, I appreciate it. That's why I asked.
Yeah.
A rose is a rose, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's a bad title. You know, the fact is that Greg still hasn't fucking built our factory yet. And so, you know, who are we to speak, right? Maybe it brings people in. I mean, we playing devil's advocate here. We live in the attention economy, right, where people have got high time preference, right, and low attention spans. So, short attention spans, maybe it appeals to a certain class of people, draws them in and then wallops them with a big sledgehammer of some deep thought, analytical, you know, conversation, what have you. But if you're looking for something that is more descriptive of what you do, does more what it says on the tin, then it doesn't do that.
I was wondering, like, once it's established, right, and you like you got all sort of shit out there on the interwebs and hyperlinking and SEO and that jazz, like, does it even matter? You know, like, Tales from the Crypt's a good example. Like, that has, what does that mean? That's like, that's used in a billion other places, from a TV show to whatever, but it becomes known as something. And then, like, how much does the name actually matter?
I think your name is more well known than Rapidfire.
Yeah.
Much more well known than Rapidfire. So I actually don't think it would be that big a loss with you dropping that.
No. But also, you really think Marty and Matt want their names associated with crypto? It's a shelling point now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's more known as TFTC now, right?
Yeah, because they changed it, right?
Right.
I don't know. I don't think you should underestimate like recognizability and like that kind of awareness as well. I mean, you have built up something, and even though, you know, honestly, I don't really think about like, oh, why is it not like a rapid fire thing anymore?
I was promised rapid fire questions here today.
If John were to change it to the John Vallis podcast, for argument's sake,
oh yeah,
would that make us
the shirtless John Vallis podcast?
We're still early, John. We're still early. You can still change your
guns and guns.
That's redundant, library.
JB's guns.
We know we're still early because John Vallis made time for us. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time today.
I'll fucking always make time. You know I love this shit.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You guys hear me?
All right, boys.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're
mic check. Mic check.
Welcome. Welcome.
How are we going?
Say goodbye. Say goodbye, Sean.
All I wanted to ask John was what he talked about first dates. That's it.
What?
Just repeat that, Sean.
What does John talk about on first dates?
Ooh, big one. Good luck.
You know, I haven't had a first date in a while. The last, my current girl, the way that we met was, I was at the beach one day and she came up to I was having a beer at one of the restaurants along the beach and she came up to the paddleboard hut to rent it, right? And I saw her and was pretty interested. And so she got the board and went off into the water. And she was with a group of friends, right? Anyway, so I did the Uber creep move and I finished my beer and I just waded into the water, like trying to get close enough for like a hello or something. And she like passes me on the board. I choked, I guess, but I was like, hey, how much is that board? She was like, yeah, like $20 an hour, and just kept going. And so, you know, I kind of thought I'd fucked it there. But anyway, she came back and she was like, look, there's 20 minutes left. You want to take it for a spin? And I was like, yes. And then this couple next to us was like, have you guys seen the colorful crabs like over there? And I was like, no. Do you want to go see the crabs? And then it was a whole hilarious thing where we were falling off. And that was basically all she wrote. So these days, if hypothetically a first date happened, you know I'm talking about Bitcoin. How can you not? Like, how can you not? Wow. You know, you're talking about how fucking insane the world is, and you got to go right in with Bitcoin. I mean, if she doesn't accept me as a complete lunatic, then it's not going to work out anyway. So,
yeah.
It would be about Bitcoin.
I think we agree on that one.
Don't really know what else to talk about with anybody. Have you hung out in Normie World recently? It's horrible.
Yes.
It's a pain. It's a pain.
Struggle looking at them in the eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Best avoided.
Poor Labra had to do a Swift transaction twice because the first time it failed recently. I can't believe.
Time.
We're not on a horrible.
I'm trying to get a pet on a flight here today, and I've been on the phone with service reps for like, I don't know, 3 hours or something ridiculous. I mean, things just don't work in Normieland at all anymore. Everything
is
painful.
If you put a mask on it, they won't notice.
Yeah, I might have to try that. But yeah, the point is things in Bitcoin land are smooth and amazing, and things in normie land are falling apart. So we're doing the right thing here.
Yo, can I ask you one more question? Have we got time, guys?
No, it's not gonna happen.
I'm good.
It's too late.
No. So
fuck you.
Someone invite John to 2024 halving with the meme factory.
We're scheduling it at that early.
Oh boy.
You've been penned in.
He's got 100K. We got the halving.
Okay. Okay.
That's I on the first thing with Sailor, I thought the halving was like a more seminal moment, to be honest, than the 100K thing, but he just wanted to get down and parties before that, presumably. So that's why we're doing it at the 100K.
I'm shocked. Totally shocked.
We've all got tickets, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't have permission to enter though, RD, without a fucking jab.
I strong armed my ticket. I got my tickets, day after RD. that podcast. I was like, John, sure. John, I'm getting in, right, John? Right, John?
Sailor can come and pick us up in his yacht, one of his yachts.
One of his, yeah.
Someone will get you in somehow.
Yeah.
Or we relocate.
Yeah. All right, guys, you're going to lose me. I got to get back to my family. So if you all want to continue, that's fine, but I got to drop out.
It's time to end.
Let's shut it down.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, John.
All right, boys.
Thank you very much, John.
See ya. Be well.
Hey, John.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Coming on.
Take care.
Bye.
Set the sails, I feel the winds are stirring. Towards the bright horizon, sail away. Cast your reckless dreams upon our Mayflower. System.